Today, I'd like to deliver a message on the intensity of our warfare and draw your attention to an Old Testament character named Solomon. Most religious people have heard of Solomon, but I wonder how many have ever connected him with the intensity of our warfare. What you're going to find out about this man is very shocking as far as how far he fell and how this man started off. This man's example is one of the clearest indicators of the intensity of our spiritual warfare. Folks, if you enter the kingdom of God, you're actually going to have to do things better than Solomon to get in. If not, you will not enter God's kingdom. The devil will pick you off like he did Solomon. Listen very carefully. Let's begin with a brief review. This man, early in life, when he first started to reign, he asked God for a discerning heart. In 1 Kings 3:9, it says, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God was so pleased with that request. God went ahead and not only did what he wanted, but actually did more for Solomon than what he requested. In 1 Kings 3, verses 11 through 13, we read this. God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." That was God's promise to him, and that is exactly what happened afterwards. In 1 Kings chapter 10, 22 and 23, we read this. "King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. His outstanding characteristic was his wisdom." Now listen to this, folks. It was godly wisdom. We know it was godly wisdom because God was the one that put it in his heart. It would have to be godly wisdom. And he did not get this wisdom by going to school somewhere. He didn't have to learn it in a book. He didn't have to sit under some wise teacher of his day. God gave it to him directly, and it was godly wisdom. Did you know there's more than one type of wisdom? As strange as it might sound, James speaks of another type of wisdom, which is unspiritual and of the devil. Now listen to this. James chapter 3, 14 through 17, we read this. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven," now notice, two types of wisdom, "but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." That's James 3, 14 through 17. So that helps describe this type of wisdom that God gave him. This describes his wisdom. There can also be no doubt that Solomon once had a powerful and godly influence on multitudes for many years. Since people from around the world sought his audience, we know the godly wisdom that poured from his lips must have had a powerful impact. They heard the truth from him. His impact must have been staggering. Multitudes heard God's wisdom from his lips. And not only that, God also uniquely did through him what David wanted, and that was to build the temple. And that was one of the greatest structures ever built by man. The craftsmanship and the expense of it was absolutely astounding. And beyond all that, there's another accomplishment that Solomon achieved that many overlook. And that accomplishment was this. He wrote part of the Bible. Did you hear that? I said Solomon wrote part of the Bible. Now listen. Here's a very important key to studying the life of Solomon. His rise and his fall. His apostasy. All of the good and all of the godly achievements that he did not cancel and could not cancel out what he did at the end of his life, namely his sin of idolatry. Solomon promoted true worship to the true and living God, and at the same time, false worship to pagan gods. He built the temple, but he also built pagan places to sacrifice and worship. Imagine that. And all of that happened after he also saw God twice. That is the God of the Bible. Now, how could this happen? How could a man like Solomon fall to that degree? How is it possible that somehow the devil got at him? Notice, what happened to Solomon did not happen quickly. What happened to Solomon happened after decades of faithful service. He was a giant for God. Now, some people would say, well, if you ever profess to know God, ever have salvation, ever in right standing with God, you could never apostatize. You could never do the things that Solomon did. Folks, that is absolutely false. It is unscriptural. Not only is Solomon, but others, prime examples to refute that false concept. Solomon was saved before he turned away and died spiritually. But the question still remains, what happened to him? How could this occur? How did the devil get at him and bring him down spiritually? What happened to Solomon is laid out clearly in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He violated one main command. He also ignored spiritual safeguards, and he fell away. In a nutshell, he didn't guard himself closely enough. There's a command in Deuteronomy, and probably elsewhere as well, that they were not to intermarry with any pagans. In contrast, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women, besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations from which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. Very important verse. He held fast to them in love, even though it was clearly a command. He was not to do that, and it would be to his detriment to disobey that command. The consequences were most serious and lethal. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his fathers had been. That's 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. You've heard, no doubt, about a marriage made in heaven. That's a phrase that we hear from time to time of a very good marriage. Well, listen to this, folks. Solomon had marriages made in hell, even though they appeared extremely good. We know they would appear on the surface extremely good because he held fast to them in love. And we know that the devil used his pagan wives to turn his heart from God. The worst thing that could ever happen to Solomon. Much worse than dying physically. Much worse than getting dethroned. Much worse than some family problem. Solomon became an idolater because his wives, whom he deeply loved, led him astray. He sought their approval above God's. He wanted their good favor and affection more than that would come from the true and the living God of the Bible, the eternal God. I'd like to ask you a question after all of that. Listen to this question. Would the devil give a type of love that will kill another spiritually? Will the devil give you a good marriage if that so-called good marriage will lead you astray spiritually? Absolutely. No question. If it happened to Solomon, it can happen to you. Please know this, it's not just with a marriage. It could be money. He might gush money at you if that will lead you astray. He'll do anything he can to lead you astray. A good friend, a good job, excitement, some kind of contact with the person. and it could potentially be a lethal snare to you spiritually. So folks, you must be on your guard. Now, though it is not clear regarding Solomon's wives, we can assume that some of those wives must have been very beautiful, just like the kind the devil often uses in our day. Don't forget what I'm about to say. Anything or anyone that would get between you and a close walk with God is of the devil and is dangerous, not good, not something that will benefit you, but something that is potentially ruinous and not a blessing. And in Solomon's case, it was his own family. Imagine that, his wives who were used by the devil. His own family was his worst enemy. His own family brought him down to hell. He should have stood his ground against their wickedness. He should have said something like this: I love you, but I love the true and the living God more. If I have to offend someone, I am going to offend you before I offend God. I'd rather upset you than him. I am not and will never help you commit idolatry. I am going to remain faithful to God regardless what happens and how you may take it. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. He held fast his sin. And even after God expressed his anger and disapproval, there is no record that Solomon ever repented and got things right. Never. Another lesson to be learned by Solomon is that, among other things, no servant of God can ever rely upon his past accomplishments and achievements for God. Solomon did big and great things, but God was still angered by his sin. And God will still be angered by your sin if you go astray. Regardless how much you did in the past, what matters is where are you in the present time, right now. Not if you were ever saved, but are you saved now? The Bible tells us just as the wicked can repent and get spiritually clean, the spiritually clean can turn away from God and die spiritually. In Ezekiel chapter 33, 18 and 19, we read this: if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. And if a wicked man turns away from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live by doing so. So Solomon had hundreds of wives and concubines. Nobody in Scripture ever had more wives and concubines than Solomon. In 1 Kings 11 verse 3, it said he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. When Solomon went astray, according to 1 Kings 11, 5, he followed a pagan goddess and a pagan god. So Solomon had both female and male pagan gods. His sin and compromise was probably committed to keep peace with his wives, but it caused the opposite with God. It disturbed the peace he had with God. It destroyed it. It caused anger from God, and that's because of his sin. The Bible says, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father has done. On the east hill of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. That's 1 Kings 11, 6-8. An undetermined number of high places for pagan sacrifices was made by Solomon at this dark time in his life. His heart turned away from God. It can happen. It happened to him. The Bible says, 1 Kings 11, 9 and 10, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. Besides his spiritual death, which surely occurred based on Ezekiel 33, 18, etc., God was personally going to judge him regarding his kingdom reign. And there's no scripture that ever says that Solomon ever came back to salvation. None. and the puny, pitiful attempt made by the Calvinist from Ecclesiastes is actually laughable. Folks, read Ecclesiastes for yourself if you want. Not only is it a strange book, there is nothing there that ever says that Solomon returned to God. The truth is, Solomon turned from God, died spiritually, and never returned again to salvation. Never. So along with his pagan wives, he went to a fiery torment after his death. He held fast to them in love as they traveled down the road to hell together. Singles, take warning. We can learn from Solomon's mistake. Especially singles are in great danger and need to pay attention to what happened to Solomon. Listen to this scripture from Nehemiah 13:26. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led astray into sin by foreign women. That is pagan women. That is unsaved women. Do not marry an unsaved woman or unsaved man. If you do, it will have an adverse spiritual effect upon you, guaranteed. Don't risk it. Your soul is your most valuable possession. Don't take a chance. Question: did Solomon have 700 wives and 300 concubines? No. He had 700 wives of royal birth plus 300 concubines. He could have had hundreds of other wives also. Had Solomon only acted upon the following scriptural passage, which I am going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 17, he would have remained faithful to God. There's a spiritual safeguard in there specifically for kings, but it applies to all of us that are walking with God. Listen to this. This will reveal where his errors were, and especially the one about taking many wives. It says in Deuteronomy 17:16-20, the king moreover must not acquire great number of horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them, for the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. Or his heart will be led astray. It says, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his God, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. Well, that verse did not occur because of his sin and the personal judgment that came on him, besides, of course, the natural consequences of a righteous man turning to evil and dying spiritually. So Solomon violated all of that, but the big one was idolatry. That was the big one. It was not Solomon's exceptional wisdom. It was not his popularity, his fame, or his riches that brought him down spiritually. It was the pagan influences from his family, his wives. People that he sought their favor. He wanted their approval. And these were darkened, dead tools of the devil to get at him and destroy him. The ones closest to Solomon were his worst enemies. Remember this about Solomon. The false worship negated the good coming from his sacrifices and true worship from the temple. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:19 through 21. Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol was anything, or that an idol was anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Folks, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you after man's approval or God's? Do you want money or do you want God? Do you want to please God or something or someone else. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a short time. That's how it was with Solomon. He had his wife's approval. But folks, all that came to an end. And your life is going to come to an end. What is it that you have a top priority in your life? It better be God and entering the kingdom of God. Solomon was not as conscious and not as aware as he needed to be of this intense spiritual war raging for souls, including his soul. Maybe somehow he thought because he was king of Israel or because he wrote part of the Bible, he would be protected. God would never be angry at him. These horrible things would never occur, but folks, that's not true. The devil's a liar. He'll give you any thought like that to lower your guard. In our day, primarily, it's the doctrine of once you're in grace, you're always in grace. That once you're saved, you're always saved. That you can backslide and only lose your fellowship, but not your relationship. All of that is false. All of that is deadly. The Bible says we can fall from grace to a place where Christ will be of no value to us at all. And if that occurs, then we have no salvation according to the scriptures. You cannot have salvation apart from having Jesus. So only Jesus was wiser than Solomon. But his wisdom could not stop the devastating effect of idolatry on his heart. The Bible says that idolaters will go to the lake of fire. And it also says that murderers will go to the lake of fire. After Solomon backslid, he tried to kill Jeroboam, who was going to get part of the kingdom. And he wanted to thwart the will of God. We must guard our heart above all else. We must be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We must love God first and above all others. And we must remain true to God. And he that endures to the end will be saved. Let's all learn from what happened to Solomon. As terrible as it was, we can benefit by it and not let the same happen to us. Nowhere in the Bible do you read in all of those chapters about Solomon that the devil had his eye on Solomon, but he did. The devil had his eye on Solomon. And folks, the truth is the devil has his eye on you. Wherever you are, whatever kind of place in society or in the church you are in, the devil wants to damn you. He wants to drag you down to hell. So you must guard your heart above all else. Your soul is your most valuable possession. Please take to heart what happened to Solomon. Remain true to him. God bless you.